This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You hear me now?
Are you more sweet or savory? Or a bit both?
I'm a bit of both.
I love food.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Just it. Yeah.
You can hear me?
I love food. So whether it's sweet, whether it's savory, I'm good. Although I'm.
Are you able to hear me, sister?
Explorer. The thing
I
is,
tend
when
to stay with what I.
Yeah. I definitely feel like when it comes to savory food, I don't venture out much. I'm pretty plain. And most of my friends and family will be like, you're fussy.
Yeah.
No, I just like to stick within what I'm comfortable with. But when it comes to sweet stuff, I'll pretty much try anything because I have such a sweet tooth. So I'm really comfortable trying kind of sweet dishes.
Are you able to see me now, alhamdulillah?
Banoffee pie and eaten mess.
Okay, mashallah.
Love it. And I do love the eaten mess. I do love it. I really need to put in like...
My mum being English, that's a kind of like a classic English pudding.
Yeah.
So that kind of, for me, I kind of grew up on syrup pudding, you know, where you boil it. You'd literally boil the pudding, you know, bread and butter puddings and apple crumbles and things like that with no cinnamon. See, I cinnamon is kind of ruining the apple crumble. And the apple pies and stuff like that. But we could literally talk about desserts all morning, but we are going to go over, all the way over to Australia to speak to Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's good to be back with you every Wednesday morning, alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, I'm not too sure. We don't seem to be able to hear you as clearly as we would like.
Oh.
Can you hear us quite clearly?
I can hear you. Are you able to hear me now a little bit better?
It sounds just a little bit muffled, so I'm not too sure if our viewers at home will be able to hear you. Oh, I think you might have gone off just a moment. So we're just waiting for our Sheikh to fix his sound before we go back over.
Okay.
And inshallah, we're going to be continuing with more conversations in the Quran. And I do really love this segment because I do feel that, you know, the Quran, another word for it is the heart, the mother, right? And I feel like if, you know, if there's anything taken away, I mean, if everything was taken away and we still had the Quran, we would still have, like,
100%.
Our hearts, you know, and our souls.
Bismillah, are you able to hear me now?
See how that was given to me. And, you know, the brother said that as long as you stayed with the Quran and the Sunnah, then everything else cannot fall out of you.
Not really sure why, sister.
So it's true. And I remember, you know, the time, you know, your iman dips and it comes up and it sits. I remember I was at a really dipped time, a really low time. And, you know, you come away from things a little bit. And I just remember that, you know, that you need the Quran. And I just put the Quran back on and everything just seemed to make so much more sense.
Yeah.
And so whenever, you know, I need that grounding, or just that boost.
Okay, so that's
okay. Is this really better now? Okay, alhamdulillah. Glad to hear it.
When you do go back to it, you kind of, it's almost like...
Okay, mashallah, bismillah.
That missing part has been kind of put back into you. But in speaking about the Quran, I believe our Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim is back. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's good to be back. I hope you can hear me a little bit better now.
Yes. It's a little bit better. Yes, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Jazakumullah khair.
So Sheikh, we're going to be continuing with our conversations in the Quran. So where are you going to start us with today?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'd. Always we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the central essence of everything that we seek. We seek to honor and magnify Allah azza wa jal, the Almighty, the provider and the creator of all, the purveyor of all of our success and the assistance in all of that which we seek help from. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in beginning and end to make us from those who are lovers of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we are a testament to his fulfillment of that message and delivering the Quran to us. Inshallah, today we're looking once again through Surah Al-Baqarah. We're at verse number 44. Now, this is, you know, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, as you know, it's the longest chapter of the Qur'an, but a lot of the themes that will be enacted in the Qur'an and taught later in the Qur'an find their root, the seeds of them are planted in the surah. And one of those integral verses is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the children of Israel, Bani Israel, in the presence of us as a Muslim ummah. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, these were the words that I said to the people before you. These are the words that I have always maintained to humanity. This is a consistent message from the beginning of time until the end. This is one of those themes that you should never lose track of. And Allah says in the 44th verse of the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you preach righteousness? Now, if you were to just stop there, it would be a strange statement. You know, why are you telling people to do moral, good things, righteous things? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. But the completion of that sentence, and you can't read the beginning without the end attached to it. You can't just say, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. How dare you call people to righteousness? How do you speak to people to invite them to goodness unless you also continue with the verse, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, while at the same time you fail to practice it yourselves? Now, this is one of those foundational verses in the Quran, one of the foundational lessons to our ummah, and one of the foundational lessons to the Prophet ﷺ. And it's almost as if I want you to put yourself in the place of the one delivering the message. Because one day you are, whether you're a father or a mother or a brother or a sister or a best friend or a teacher or an elder or an imam, in whatever capacity, there's going to come this one moment where you're going to invite somebody to leave off something that is condemnable, something that is not right, and irrespective of what level of its condemnation, there's something that you're going to look at and say, I don't want you to do this. This isn't good for you. At the same time, there must be that introspective nature. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Hey, hold on a second. Do you forget about yourself? Do you forget to look in the mirror? Do you forget to hold yourself accountable? Do you forget to impress upon yourself that which is necessary and which is meant to be maintained by you first? Now, this, of course, can be very problematic, because there are certain things in my life that I know are wrong, and sadly, perhaps I have become overcome in certain moments with weakness that I've indulged in them. Is that something now condemnable for me to say to somebody, don't do this, even though I've fallen into that? And we get into that trap where you hear people kind of say, unless you walked in my shoes, you know, unless you know what it's like to be me, unless you've had the problems that I've had, unless you've been where I've been, you have nothing to say. And that's wrong. It's a wrong, it's a false understanding. And it's a false understanding that you should only assume that if somebody's broken, only they can make you whole. And it's a false understanding that unless you're whole, you can't help somebody who's broken. In both ways, it's a wrong understanding. And here Allah says, "Atamurun." This is where the crux of the issue. Do you preach? Meaning, do you hypocritically preach? It's not, do you call people to good just because of the sake of good? It's not just that I'm sharing information or I'm answering a question. And there are moments, subhanAllah, in my life where this has been very confrontational. You know, somebody, a cross-examination of my own soul, somebody's asking me about something that I know, perhaps in my home, with my own children, with my own lifestyle, with my own wealth, with whatever it may be, that maybe there's inconsistencies in it. Do you preach to people? And here Allah uses the word an-nas. He doesn't say, do you preach lil-mu'mineen? Do you preach to the Muslims? Allah saying, have you made it your habit that whoever you meet, irrespective of who you meet, are you of a hypocritical nature that you're out there where your words are not cashing the checks of your actions? Are your words diametrically opposed to what people see you do? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Have you forgotten yourself? Now, there are three important levels to this ayah. The first ayah is, do you say to somebody to do righteousness and you've forgotten what it was like when you were in the beginning of your stages? SubhanAllah. Some of us now, we're upright. We're standing tall in Islam. We're practicing the faith. We've learned to read the Quran. We're going to classes. We've gotten married. We're moving forward in our life. And we're mature believers. And then there's others, SubhanAllah, they may be of our same age. They maybe have been born into Islam and we weren't. And they're still in their toddler stage. They're still crawling. Do you preach what is good and forget what it was like? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ And you forgot yourselves initially. So that's one shade of the verse. Don't be so hard-hearted. Don't be so condemning. And Allah speaks...
Sheikh, I'm really sorry to cut you.
Oh, SubhanAllah.
But we can't hear you too well. It seems to have cut off just a little bit.
Terrible. I'm so sorry.
That was so powerful.
It was. There were certain parts and I was like...
It was.
How about this? We defer it, inshallah, till next week, inshallah.
When I first became Muslim.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people that come into the religion or just kind of getting started and... You know, sometimes, you know, we as Muslims can be so harsh. Absolutely. And we think, subhanAllah, if people had been harsh with us, how would we have dealt with that? Sheikh, are you back? Can we hear you?
I'm hoping you can hear me a little bit better now.
Yes, that's perfect, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. All right, let's give it a go. So this verse, the first shade of the verse, do you preach a word to people that you have forgotten what it was like when you were first beginning, when you were coming back to the truth, when you were discovering the truth? The second is, do you speak a truth that you yourself in your privacy contradict? And that's a very, you know, that's a really proud, arrogant stance. It's a stance of sinfulness. It's a hypocritical, two-faced stance that one has between themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that of those who will find no shelter or shade, no protection from the wrath of Allah on the Day of Judgment, are those who protected themselves from the sight of people in this worldly life when they committed sin. They were very careful not to be seen or called out or caught out or brought to justice, but they cared nothing for what Allah saw of them, of what they did in their privacy with Allah Azza wa Jalla. The third important statement that relates to this ayah is, are you as a collection of people so disconnected with the truth of faith? Atamurun, and this is a collective, you know, it's a plural. Do you, all of you, are you so involved in the dissemination of the call to righteousness towards others, but you intentionally overlook your own crimes, your own pettiness, your own mistakes, your own uprightness is second to what you are preaching and bringing on to others? And subhanAllah, we've all had those people who are like backseat drivers or armchair voyagers into our life. We've all had people who watch us from a distance or gossip about us. We've had people who are keyboard heroes who are, you know, willing to write that first comment and willing to put that first condemnation and willing to say, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this and this and this, and you know, you aren't that example. And they forget entirely that there is a whole level of important hadith and verses that they are to reflect upon themselves. Wa antum tatluna al-kitab. So Allah says, and in the same time, although you read the scripture, reading the scripture and reading our Quran, reading any message of truth is multi-leveled. There's the first level where you read it and it has no introspection. It's almost as if you are glossing over it. You're just becoming acquainted with what it says. The second level is you begin to take pause and you establish a self-critique and a self-awareness and an attempt at redemption. The third, of course, is where you begin to apply it to yourself and now you want to extend it past yourself to others. Now, if you skip the two steps in the middle and you just go to reading something and trying to find someone to cast it upon or to put it upon, you do yourself a great, enormous disservice by not actually reciting the book for your own benefit. Allah warns us of extremists. The Prophet ﷺ warns us of extremists within our community. And the sign of an extremist, one of the telltale signs, is that they are prolific, يقرؤون القرآن. They are prolific in the reading of the Qur'an. They memorize it, they study it, but لا يتجاوز حناجرهم. But it does not descend past their trachea, their throat. What that means is that the words are on the tongue, they're on the eyes, it's in their hands, they're spending hours with the book of Allah, but they never allowed its practice to enter into their heart. So they become hard-hearted. And as you move forward with Surah Al-Baqarah, what you find is Allah then begins to speak to Bani Israel by saying, قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts, hardened, فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ, it became like rock. That is what happens when somebody studies faith without connecting it with the attempts of finding the mercy of Allah and establishing the balance and harmony of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in it. All of us have met the individual who quotes the words of Allah, who quotes or she quotes the words of the Prophet ﷺ, but it's not a reflection in how it was spoken by the Prophet ﷺ in their demeanor. It's not reflected in the essence of why those verses were revealed and the context that they were revealed into the Prophet ﷺ. And sadly, when we feel that that person is quoting the scripture, يتلون الكتاب, but we see in their own life major imbalance, even if it is not said by us out of shame and out of modesty, at times it's something that is thought, Akhi, perhaps you need to have a little bit more introspection. Sister, perhaps there are other things that should be of a priority in your life before you come and cast stones at others. And Imam al-Shafi'i used to write wonderful poetry about this. In his Diwan and other places, he would say things like, Kama anna laka, as you have in your own head, eyes that you look upon others, فَلِلنَّاسِ, other people, they also have eyes. As you extend your gaze to others and you see sloppiness or mistakes, perhaps that you condemn, notice that there are others who have eyes that can see the same in you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the believer is mir'atu akhi, is a mirror of their fellow Muslim brother, of their fellow man in and those who they associate with, meaning that what I see in others, I should, as I'm trying to find beauty in myself, I should see it in the image that I set before me, that what I look upon, what I intend to see, is really with this husnul dhann billah. I'm going to end with a true incident. I was giving the Jumu'ah khutbah at one of our masajid. And there's a brother who's very dear to me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him khayran barakah. And this brother, he's got a hearing issue. So he has an implant that allows him to hear. But if he's sitting near speakers and things like that, it causes him so much trouble. So this brother, he would come say to me, Sheikh, whenever you come give the khutbah, please record it and then send it to me privately so I can use my Bluetooth to access it from my phone so that I can hear what you have to say. And I said, yes, of course, inshallah, I'll record and I'll send it to you. So for weeks, whenever I would go, I would do that. Whenever I'd see him, I'd record it. And he would send, wonderful, wonderful messages. And subhanAllah, there was one brother who comes and he says to me, subhanAllah, Sheikh, can you believe there's people sitting in the back fiddling around with their phones instead of listening to the khutbah? They come in late, then they sit in the back with their phones. And, he indicates to me who the brother is. And I pulled him aside. I said, Akhi, my dear brother, this brother, he has a hearing issue. He fiddles with his phone to find the right audio level to be able to tolerate to even come to the masjid. If he didn't come to the masjid, his prayer would be assured with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why, Akhi, is your sight falling upon someone you don't even know? There's no reason for you to have that callousness, Ya Akhi. And subhanAllah, there are so many of us at times that we are quick to preach the righteousness. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ We don't reflect upon it within ourselves, even though we seek to study the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not understand? That's how Allah ends this ayah. Think, my dear brother, my dear sister, about how important it is to represent the truth, to seek it for yourself, and yes, to preach it and to share it with others, but at the same time, not to live with a life where we seek to broadcast upon others what we would not want for them to share in return with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from inconsistency in our behavior, in our akhlaq, in our mispreaching of the word of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to recite from the Quran that which is pleasing to him in the days and the nights, and make us of those who stand with it when others are asleep. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate us with its status and its knowledge and its application. Allahumma ameen.
It's such deep yeah. reflection.
I mean, Sheikh, when you gave that example of the brother with the hearing issue, I just had goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because how many times have we thought something of somebody without actually understanding their situation
yeah.
or the entirety of what they could be going through?
Yeah.
And it just sent goosebumps. But I also have a brother who has hearing issues. And again, people would look at him and think that he's always on his phone. But he's constantly trying to find that volume for him to tolerate everybody speaking at the
yeah,
same time.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. So
there's a sister that I know as well. Like, she has an invisible illness, and it's, you know, it's so consuming for her, SubhanAllah. And she's a new Muslim. And there's been times where she's gone into the masajid, gone to sit on the chair, and she's had people, you know, imagine being a new Muslim stepping into the masjid, you know, sitting on the chair, because you've just about got to the masjid, and then people are, you know, giving you looks or making you feel uncomfortable. You know, it does really break my heart to think that, you know, we as Muslims are lack so much compassion, SubhanAllah. And you know, it is, you know, the psychology of sometimes human nature, where we can be quite defensive, and we can, you know, and then that stops us and prevents us from looking inwards, and then we, you know, we externalize everything, and it takes away so much, doesn't it, Sheikh?
Well, think about some of the simple words of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the words we all know. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you don't have anything good to say, be quiet. Like, it's a simple, you know, if you don't have something positive to say, just be quiet. The Prophet ﷺ says, Dama, something that doesn't concern you, leave it for that which does concern you, right? Something, it doesn't concern you. It doesn't concern, this brother, he's sitting, yes, he's fiddling with his phone. It makes no difference to you, to your dunya and akhirah, akhi, to be so callous in your heart that you're so consumed by it, that you're like, oh, what's happening? And you know, this kind of over-exaggerated state where you're, you know, as if you're the vanguard of the whole ummah. Nobody else cares for the ummah except me. If I didn't have these feelings, the whole ummah would drown in its hypocrisy. Alhamdulillah, I'm there to protect everyone with feeling this indignation. That's something that leads us far away from Allah Azza wa Jal. I humbly submit as well, I've written a piece. It's called Un-Dawah. So all of us, we, you know, we're familiar with Dawah, but we also do the opposite of Dawah. Un-Dawah, an egregious character that leads people away from Allah. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab, from being of those types.
That piece, SubhanAllah, because, you know, when you said Andawa, I knew exactly what you were going to say, SubhanAllah.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, may Allah protect us all from this, you know, mm-hmm. his type of mm-hmm. characteristics, inshallah. So JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, a very timely reminder here for us in the studio. And may Allah continue to bless and protect you and give you everything that is good for you in this dunya and akhirah, inshallah. Ameen. But right now, we'll be heading to a nasheed from Maher Zain. Ya Nabi, Salam Alaiki. And then after that, we'll be back in the kitchen, going to the kitchen with Chef Saj.
Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.